Translation in Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, the Ki Jai. All three of the above mentioned stages of different living entities are interdependent. In the absence of one, another is not understood. But the Supreme Being, who sees every one of them as the shelter of the shelter, is independent of all, and therefore he is the supreme shelter. Purport. There are innumerable living entities, one dependent on another, in the relationship of the controlled and the controller. But without the medium of perception, no one can know or understand who is the controlled and who is the controller. For example, the sun controls the power of our vision. We can see the sun because the sun has a body, and the sunlight is useful only because we have eyes. Without having eyes, the sunlight is useless, and without sunlight, the eyes are useless. Thus, they are interdependent, and none of them is independent. Therefore, the natural question arises concerning who made them independent. The one who has made such relationship of interdependence must be ultimately completely independent. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate source of all independent objectives is the complete independent subject. This ultimate source of all interdependence is the supreme truth of Paramatma, the Super Soul, who is not dependent on anything else. He is Swashrayashraya. He is only dependent on himself, and thus he is the supreme shelter of everything. Although Paramatma and Brahman are subordinate to Bhagwan, because Bhagwan is Purushottama, or the supreme person, he is the source of the Super Soul also. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.18, Lord Krishna says that he is the Purushottam and the source of everything. And thus, it is concluded that Sri Krishna is the ultimate source and shelter of all entities, including the Super Soul and Supreme Brahman. Even accepting that there is no difference between the Super Soul and the individual soul, the individual soul is dependent on the Super Soul for being liberated from the illusion of material energy. The individual is under the clutches of illusory energy, and therefore, although qualitatively one with the Super Soul, he is under the illusion of identifying himself with matter. And to get out of this illusory conception of factual life, the individual soul has to depend on the Super Soul to be recognized as one with him. In that sense, also the Super Soul is a supreme shelter, and there is no doubt about it. The individual living entity, the jiva, is always dependent on the Super Soul, Paramatma, because the individual soul forgets his spiritual identity, whereas the Super Soul, Paramatma, does not forget his transcendental position. In the Bhagavad Gita, these separate positions of the jiva atma and the paramatma are specifically mentioned. In the fourth chapter, Arjun, the jiva soul, is represented as forgetful of his many, many previous births. But the Lord, the super soul, is not forgetful. The Lord even remembers when he taught the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god some billions of years ago. The Lord can remember such millions and billions of years, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.26, as follows. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani chabhutani mam tu veda nakashana. The Lord is the eternal blissful body of knowledge, is fully aware of all that happened in the past, which is going to happen at the present, and also what will happen in the future. But in spite of his being the shelter of both the Paramatma and Brahman, persons with poor fund of knowledge are unable to understand him as he is. The propaganda of the identity of the cosmic consciousness with the consciousness of the individual being living entities is completely misleading, because even such a person or individual soul as Arjuna could not remember his past deeds, although he is always with the Lord. And what can the tiny ordinary man falsely claiming to be one with the cosmic consciousness know about his past, present, and future? Om Ajnatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutabhada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadhavaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Srivishakam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, because we are in the early part of the chapter, we'll just do a quick recap so far of the chapter so we know where we are. So the chapter begins, the very first text is a very, very important text, speaking about the 10 subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's see, let's check our memories. Do we remember the 10 subject matters? Let's try and see if we can list them. First, Sarga. Sarga means? Primary creation. Then Visarga means? Secondary creation. Okay, and then? Sarga Visarga, Sarga Visarga, Vicha, Sthanam. Sthanam means cosmic geography or planetary system, right? And then, before that, Poshana. Poshana means protection by the Lord, basically, right? And then Utaya, somebody mentioned Utaya, what does that mean? Not quite. Utaya means creative impetus, or our urge to engage in fruitive activity. And then Manmantara, simple, that's change of manus, exactly. And then Ishanu Katha, it says the science of the Lord. So basically the pastime of the Lord and his devotees. Nirodho, that stop me winding up of the cosmos, basically. And then after Nirodho is Muktir, which is simple, liberation. And then Ashraya, which Prabhupada translated as Samambonam. Samambonam, very, very important. Samambonam is like ultimate truth, or Bona is good. So the ultimate good, that's Samambonam. So that's the first verse. Second verse explains that throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees describe the first nine topics to support the tenth. So that's how important the tenth is. So throughout the Bhagavatam, the whole of Bhagavatam contains different pastimes and stories and references to different scriptures. And all that is being done just to support this final truth, the Ashraya, the Samam Bonam. And then texts 3 to 7, they give different definitions of the 10 topics. And yesterday, Sachirani Mataji did the text 8, which explained that the Paramatma is the shelter of the soul. And this particular text, Sukhdev Goswami explained the concept of Adhyatmika Purusha, Adhidaivaka Purusha, and Adhibhautika Purusha. So, as many of you were in the class yesterday, Adhyatmik Purusha refers to our own soul, the spirit soul. The spirit soul which possesses the senses. And then Adhidaivaka Purusha? But in particular, controlling deities of the senses. That's Adhidaivaka Purusha. And Adhibhautika Purusha? The body. This is how Prabhupada explains it in the purport yesterday. So Adhibhautika actually is the body. Purusha, actually, Prabhupada explains that in certain places, the body is also described as Purusha. Because it is trying to enjoy. So today's verse, just to repeat the translation, just as a reminder, all three of the above, so that means Adhyatmika Purusha, Adhidaivaka Purusha, and Adhibhautika Purusha, all three of the above mentioned stages of different living entities are interdependent. In the absence of one, another is not understood. But the Supreme Being who sees everyone of them as a shelter of the shelter is independent of all, and therefore he is a supreme shelter. So as I like to do normally, I just like to go through the purport and try and sort of dig deeper, maybe also find some different references from different scriptures to sort of solidify our understanding of what Prabhupada is saying. So Prabhupada in the purport says, there are innumerable living entities, one dependent on the other, in the relationship of controlled and the controller. And Prabhupada gives this beautiful example of the sun and our seeing. So our sight depends on the sunlight, of course. Well, you've got electric power here too, but the sunlight generally, because even electric power comes from sunlight, right? So we can't see unless there's sunlight. But so in that way, we are dependent. Our sight is depending on the sunlight. But Prabhupada says that without our sight, if we didn't have sight, for a blind person, even sunlight is meaningless because he can't see anyway. So this is how they're dependent on each other. That this principle of interdependence is very prevalent throughout in all situations. Think about a company, an employer, for example. So the employer is dependent on his employees, because without the employees, the company wouldn't work. It is said, actually, that when I was in business, we went to seminars, and many times we were told that the biggest asset for a company is not its stock, not even its properties, not even sort of intellectual rights they may have or whatever they have. The biggest asset for the company is its employees, because without the employees, the company wouldn't progress. So the bosses are relying on the workers, and the workers are, of course, dependent on the bosses to get their wages. So this is the interdependence. And ultimately, everybody is dependent. So even the bosses, they are dependent on customers, because if the business, there is no customers, there is no business. So they're depending on the customers. So they're always serving the customers, although they are owners of the company or whatever. So this dependence is always there. The customers also depending on the supplier to supply him what he needs. So it's always going on like this. Then in a family situation, children are depending on parents. Parents later on, of course, also will depend on children. As they get older, they depend on children to maybe support them, look after them. Nowadays, of course, it doesn't happen so much. Kids are so busy with their lives and their careers. But of course, in our tradition, we used to always have look after our elderly. So there's the interdependence there. Husband and wife, interdependent, of course, on each other. Prabhupada says in early on, he says, the controller, the controller. So we won't go where, who's the controller and who's the controller in a husband-wife situation. It's always a challenge. One of my friends used to say to me that I am the boss in the house and I have my wife's permission to say so. So you always know who is the boss. Talking about husband and wife relationships, etc., I just wanted to do a little plug here. Last year, the mentorship system, we invited Uttama Mataji and Partha Prabhu, who are running this initiative, GVT. Is anybody aware of GVT? So, Grihastha Vision Team. And they go around the world, in different temples, training couples to give Grihastha training. So I'll just read their mission statements. The mission of the Grihastha Vision Team is to support, strengthen, educate, and enliven the individuals, couples, and families who are or will be involved with the Grihastha Ashram. Very, very important. It's important, of course, for youngsters who may be thinking of starting a family to get some training about how, you know, what to expect in a marriage and how to deal with issues and how to communicate. So they start off on the right course. And even for people who have been married for a long time, for them it's important also to try and maybe do some course correction and get the relationships running well. So this is a very important initiative. So last year they were here in November and they trained four couples from our congregation. So we've got four couples, four young couples who have been trained to give this training to either new couples or established couples. The only thing is they need some practice. So our community is very, very peaceful because we put out a thing saying that, especially in the mentorship system, that anybody has any mentees who have some difficulties, please approach us because we've got these couples now trained up. Nobody turned up, which means everybody's very happy. But for these people to be actually certified, they need 5 hours of training, which means they need some couples who can even play a role with them. They can come and just take part and just go through this training with them. So if you know either yourselves or somebody else who may be interested, spare some time, please get in touch with me. We're looking to get these people more established so that we can have these four couples always ready whenever there's issues in our community. So that's about the GVT. Going back to the purport, sorry about that. Sorry? GVT. G for Grihastha, Vision, V and T for Team. Back to the purport. Prabhupada says, therefore the natural question arises concerning who made them interdependent. The one who has made such a relationship of interdependence must be ultimately completely independent. And Srila Prabhupada reminds us in the purport that the answer lies in the very first verse of the Bhagavatam. So this is the long verse which is got Shri 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 Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaudita ki jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. Wonderful. When the curtains open, it's just amazing how beautiful they look, their lordships. Hari Hari Bo. So, the long purport, the one line in there said, Janmad Yas, starts off with Janmad Yasayato, Noyad Itaratas Chathesva Bigna Swarat. So, last two words, Abigna. So, Abigna means fully cognizant, fully aware, and Swarat, fully independent. So, when we look at this, ultimately it is only the Supreme Lord who is fully independent. Below him, nothing, nobody, not a single living entity can be fully independent. People like to think they are independent, and this is always the case. Kids want to be independent, they want to leave home, and I want to be independent, I don't want to depend on my parents. Wives want to be independent, women's lib and all that, but nobody ultimately can be independent. We all are dependent on everything, no matter what we say. Prabhupada continues in the purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.18, Lord Krishna says that he is the Purushottam and the source of everything. And thus, it is concluded that Sri Krishna is the ultimate source and the shelter of all entities, including the Super Soul and the Supreme Brahman. So in this verse, actually, this is talking about the Super Soul being the ultimate independent. But then Prabhupada is making the point that, yes, Super Soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And so ultimately, actually, from the Gaudiya vision, it is Lord Sri Krishna who is the Supreme Soul, and the Paramatma and Brahman are the expansions of that Supreme Lord. So this verse 18 of the Bhagavad Gita is part of the three shlokas, which is called Three Shloki Gita. 16, 17, 18 is the Three Shloki Gita. So in fact, we should look at 16 and 17 and come to 18. You can see why it's called the Three Shloki Gita. So text 16 says, there are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. The living entities in this material world are fallible, and the living entities in the spiritual world are infallible. Then 17 says, besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord himself, who's entered the three worlds and he's maintaining them. And now, text 18, it says, Krishna is saying himself, because I am transcendental beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest. Now, who can say that? Can anybody get up and say, I am the greatest? People think, oh, he's very, very proud, you know, arrogant. But the Lord can say that because he is the greatest. He says, because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in this world and the Vedas as that Supreme Person. And then the last two concluding verse of that chapter says that anyone who knows me as a Supreme Personality God without doubting is a knower of everything. Nothing else you need to know. And the last part says that this is the most confidential part of the scriptures, which is now revealed by me. One who knows this becomes wise, and all his endeavors meet perfection. So it's a nice, nice part, ending of that particular chapter. So, in the purport of the previous verse, yesterday's verse, Prabhupada actually quotes this verse about how Krishna himself says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that he says, Vishta Vyaham Idam Krishnam Ekam Se Stito Jagat, Ekam Sena Stito Jagat, that by a single fragment of me, I pervade and support the entire universe. So that way we can understand that Lord Krishna is also the shelter for Paramatma and the shelter of Brahman. Then Prabhupada speaks about the living entity, the jiva, is always dependent on the Super Soul, Paramatma, because the individual soul forgets his spiritual identity, whereas the Super Soul, Paramatma, does not forget his transcendental position. In the Bhagavad Gita, these separate positions of the jiva and atma, jiva and the Paramatma, are specifically mentioned. Anybody knows where? Bhagavad Gita, talking about the difference between the soul, Krishna says that I remember everything, but you can't. Famous verses. Fourth chapter. I love this section of the Bhagavad Gita because it really gives us people who think that, you know, the impersonalists think that I am God. They really need to look at these verses. So this the famous section where the first verse starts. Lord. That's right. So that's one of exactly that. That's the one that is number six. But before that, five. I think it's number five. But we'll just go through these verses. Very important. Shri Bhagwan Uvacha, text one of the fourth chapter. Shri Bhagwan Uvacha, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Am Avyayam Vivashvan Manave Prahar Manur Iskvakave Bravit. The personality God, Lord Krishna, said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivashvan. And Vivashvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu, in turn, instructed it to Ikshvaku. And Prabhupada refers to this in the purport. Billions of years ago, he did this, right? And then he says, second text, evam parampara praptam imam rajavishu vidu sa kalenaha mahata yoga nasta parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession. And the saintly kings understood it in this way. In course of time, this succession was broken. And thus, the science as it is appears to be lost. So in the previous ages, the kings were Rajarshis. They were not just rulers, but they were also rishis. And so they were ruling through Shastra. So they were also learning this science. Third verse says, sa eva yam maya tedya yoga prokta puratana bhakto si me sakacheti rahasyam yatet uttamam. This very science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So Lord Krishna is reviving this whole science through Arjuna. Then text 4. Arjuna starts to speak now. Arjuna is thinking, you're talking about billions of years ago. You and I are about the same age, so you were born around the same time as me. So he says, Arjuna Vacha, aparam bhavato janma param janmas vivasvata katham etad vijaniyam tvam ado proktavanyati. He says, the sun god Vivashvan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? Natural question, isn't it? Here, then Krishna comes up with the real science, the real answers here. He says, bahuni me vyatitani janmani tapacharjuna tanyaham veda sarvani na tvam veta parantapa. He says, the Supreme Personality of God has said, many, many births both you and I have passed, Arjuna. I can remember them all, but you can't. O subduer of enemies, parantapa. So this is the difference. We, by the design of the nature, we forget. And one main reason we forget, why do we think we forget our past lives? Anybody say? Yes. Say again. Yes, a good point. So first point is that if we remember our last life, if I remember my last life, I'd be running around looking for my ex-wife or the previous wife or whatever. And my wife would be running around looking after her husband. You know, we're crazy. So for sanity, it's important that we forget our past life. We hear of these incidences where people do remember, right? They have vivid memory of them. And then they are tormented because, you know, whether do they live in the past or present? Becomes very difficult. So that's one. But the reason why we, Krishna and Prabhupada explains many places, the reason why we forget is because we change bodies. Because we change our bodies, we forget. Krishna doesn't forget because Krishna never changes the body. So that's the main difference. And then he re-emphasizes the point. He says, in text 6, he says, ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san praktitim swam adishthaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. He says, although I'm unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. He appears by his own sweet will. He's not forced into a womb of a woman like a woman like all of us. So, continuing the purport now, different points. Prabhupada says, in spite of his being the shelter of both the Paramatma and Brahman, persons with poor fundamental knowledge are unable to understand him as he is. People always want to be envious of Krishna's position. They don't want to accept that. And in verse 11 of text 9, beautiful verse where this is explained so vividly. Avajananti mam mudam manushim tanum asiram asyutam param bhavam ajananto mama bhutam maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend into human form because they don't know my transcendental nature as a supreme lord of all that be. The word muda, see? Avajananti mam muda. Muda means, sometimes it's muda means poor fund of knowledge. Somebody who is not very intelligent, foolish. But Prabhupada often translates this word muda as, anybody knows? Huh? Ass, yeah, ass also. But one of his most favorite words, begin with R. A rascal. I don't know if anybody has done any count of words, but I'm sure this has been like one of the highest quoted words in Prabhupada's teachings and talks. Muda, rascals. So these rascals, then they don't accept him. But Arjuna shows us how we should accept Krishna. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, after the Chatushloki Gita, Arjuna says, Param Brahma Param Dama Pavitram Paramam Bhavam Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhu Ahustvam Rishave Sarve Devarshi Naradastatha Ashito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. He says, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasa confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me. This is how we accept it. And then he later on, next verse, he says, Sarvam etaditam manye yanmam vadasi keshava nahi te bhagavan vyaktim vidu devana danava. This fact, although it's so plain for everybody to realize, he says, oh Krishna, I totally accept everything that you told me. But neither the demigods nor the demons, oh my Lord, can understand your personality. But in truth, they don't. This is the issue. So we spoke about how the Supreme Lord, how Krishna is the supreme controller. But as we know, yesterday also Sachirani Mataji mentioned this, that he chooses to be controlled by his devotees. Although he's totally independent, but by his own free will, he chooses to be controlled by his devotees. The examples are Mother Yashoda and the stick, very famous, right? He's running away. He's actually shaking with fear because he's there. He's in that bower of a child, and he chooses to be controlled by his mother. A famous picture, I love that picture, where he's taking Nanda Baba's shoes on his head and taking them, doing service to his father like that. When he's playing with his cowherd friends, he has to carry them on his back sometimes when he loses the game. He's there being controlled by them. In the tough negotiations before the Kurukshetra war, he became a postman for the Pandavas, didn't he? He was like Prabhupada would call him a peon. He became a peon, taking messages for the Pandavas. In the Rajasuya Yajna, he was washing the feet of the guests who were arriving. So like this, he chooses to become controlled by his devotees. In the ninth canto, describing this pastimes of Durvasa Muni and who was the person? Amrish Maharaj. He says, Aham Bhakta Paradino. When Durvasa Muni, after running away, is trying to get away from the Sudarshan Chakra, he goes to all the demigods and finally he goes to Lord Vishnu and he says, please save me from this chakra. It's your chakra. And at that time he says, Aham Bhakta Paradino. He says that I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cause of their heart. what to speak of my devotee. Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. So, Bhakta Jana Priya. So, time's running out. I'm just going to see which I can skip and what I can keep. So, I was just reading a transcript of Giriraj Maharaj's class. He was giving a class in Mexico City, and he was saying that when in the early days, one time, Achyutananda Prabhu was asking Srila Prabhupada in a conversation. He said, who is greater, Lord Chaitanya or Radha or Krishna? Who is greater? And Prabhupada gives a nice answer. And it's this, Giriraj Maharaj describes it because he was there, so he's describing it as he saw it. He says, Srila Prabhupada closed his eyes and paused for some moments and then replied, Radharani. Radharani is the greatest. And he pointed to a picture on the wall where Radharani was sitting on a raised platform and Krishna was kneeling by her feet and begging for her favor. So he said, Radharani is the greatest. And then he pointed to another picture with little Krishna carrying the shoes of Nanda Maharaj on his head. And he says, Nanda Maharaj is the greatest. The devotee is the greatest because Krishna likes to become the servant of his devotees. So such is the beautiful relationship between Krishna and pure devotees. Devotee loves Krishna and Krishna wants to serve them. Then once in a letter to Brahmananda, Prabhupada is writing, this is 1968, Krishna is a controller and we are controlled. When we simply remember to accept the control of Krishna and do not act independently, then all fortune is automatically present. So, in summary, just like I said, the main purport, the main theme of this purport is that we are not independent. We're always dependent on something. We all have, as we know, we all have the minute independence given to us by Lord. So our real independence is in giving up that minute independence, surrendering that minute independence at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And that is our proper independence. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Any comments, any questions, any corrections, please? Yes, Prabhu. Mike, please, yeah.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. Prabhupada was just mentioning, I was just reminded of this pastime of Srila Prabhupada when you mentioned about Giriraj Swami Maharaj. So one devotee came to, it was not a devotee, I think someone was visiting Srila Prabhupada and he said that I want to be a god. Then Srila Prabhupada said, you can't be a god, but you can be greater than a god. And then Srila Prabhupada showed him that picture wherein Mother Yashoda is running behind Damodar with a stick in the hand.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, thank you, Nai. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Yes, Prayojan Prabhu. Yeah, Prayojan Prabhu first and then Srinivas Prabhu.
The thing is, if we don't depend on Krishna, we should let Krishna into our heart and let him do whatever he wishes with us because he knows what's best. He's our friend, you know. So that's all I can say really on that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Let him in. Let him come in. Our power is limited.
Thank you so much, Prayojan Prabhu, for sharing that. Yes. Let Krishna within into our heart. In any case, we're depending on so many different things. So let's depend on Krishna. We're depending on so many temporary things and temporary persons. So why not depend on Krishna? Let him take charge of our life. My Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, would often say that one of the first instructions that Prabhupada gave him was that you've had many, many lives. Why don't you just try and give this one life after Krishna and see what happens? Srinivas Prabhu, please.
There was a story in Puranas explaining how one time the demigods, they won over the demons and they became proud. And so Lord Vishnu came as a yaksha. He came in that form to cut the pride of the demigods. And Indra saw this yaksha, he was beautiful, and he told Agni to go and check him out to find out who this person was. So Agni went there, and the yaksha said, "Can you burn this blade of grass?" So he was burning everything, but he couldn't burn the blade of grass. So Agni got bewildered, and he went away. And Indra asked Agni, who was he? He said, "I forgot to ask." So then Indra sent Vayu to find out. And, the yaksha asked Vayu, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Vayu, the wind god." And the yaksha told him the same thing, "Can you blow this blade of grass?" He was blowing everything, but the blade of grass wasn't being moved. So Vayu got bewildered, and then he went away. And then Indra asked Vayu, "Who was he?" He said, "I forgot to ask." So as Indra was going, he saw Parvati on the way, and he asked Parvati, "Who is this person?" And Parvati said, "That's Lord Vishnu. He came to cut your pride, to show you that Hortulmati, he's the controller.
He's the greatest. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Wonderful. Hari Hari Bol. Yes, Godaram Prabhu.
You were talking about Krishna being the greatest. So there was one certain boxer who claimed to be the greatest, but he's no longer around to show his greatness.
Sting like a bee, right? Move like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And that's the one?
Yeah, yes. That's the one. We won't name any names.
But, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, Swarat means independent, isn't it?
Yeah.
One devotee was saying, we're thinking that we're independent, you know, of Krishna, we're independent. So then he said, if we think that we're independent, he broke it down, in the deep end and dense.
There you go. Wow. Amazing. So there are so many like this. I always think about that when the Iraq thing happened and Saddam Hussein was toppled, right? Saddam Hussein was so powerful that it was like a proper demon, right? People used to be scared of him. People would shake. Even other leaders, apparently when other leaders went to meet him, they would shake. They were so afraid of him because he was so powerful. And then you saw that picture on the news where, you know, the doctor or the medic is examining him, forcing him to open his mouth and putting his torch in his mouth and everything. He was like a tied up prisoner, right? So you can see anybody who thinks so great, time brings them down. Thank you so much. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.